on the Midday 180.
Titans and Ravens this Sunday. Dean Pease joins us to discuss the defensive game plan. John McClain will preview the entire wildcard weekend. And we have the VolQuest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price. The best Titans coverage starts now.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Out of the gates, ready to go live from the Titans locker room team store at Nissan Stadium. You know it's going to be a good day when David Vanderpool is the first Midday 180 season ticket holder waiting on the Midday 180 to arrive.
He said that he was here for the T-shirt second, the free T-shirt, but the Midday 180 first. That's when you know it's a big day.
We do have the free T-shirt. Vanderpool grabbed and he's off.
He's off.
Didn't want us mentioning he was here because he's skipping work to be here.
I was going to make an unfortunate analogy, so I'll back off of that. But I just want to say, like, each time I'm around Vanderpool, I'm a little less scared.
I could tell. You really opened up to him.
Yeah.
He didn't seem scared at all.
Also, we have these chains.
Chains, quote unquote.
Yeah, plastic.
Vanderpool put one of these chain links in his ear?
Well, no, it's
this
not.
This kind of looks like something you wear.
He put a metal one.
It's not heavy enough.
Yeah. It's too lightweight.
What about this thing? What about this stanchion?
Yeah, stanchion me.
Can you hang a couple of stanchions from your ears, please?
But each time I see Vanderpool, I'm a little less afraid. But I will say, I feel like he's met me halfway. Like, look at him. He's got a long sleeve shirt on with a short sleeve shirt over it. That's two more sets of sleeves than the first time I met him.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
you when saw he was him practically
sleeveless.
New.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all that art, all that intimidating art I saw on his body.
He is a work of art, David Vanderpool.
Yes, he is.
I want everyone to gaze upon this man.
Like the
this
work of David. Art. The statue of David. Which I saw in Florence.
Vanderpool will start sipping on scissor at about 11 a.m. today to get ready for the Titans game.
He's going to the game. Chad will be at the game as well.
Tomorrow.
On Sunday.
Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Yeah,
today's about hydration.
Chad, you have to build up to that.
Right. Today's about hydration. Pedialyte today.
My bad.
Got a case of Pedialyte. Purple.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. I thought it was Friday yesterday.
Yeah.
But today's actually
Friday. Feels like Saturday.
We are energized because we are live from the Titans Pro Shop here where you can swing by, grab your AFC Championship gear. They have that here at the Pro Shop. If you want to win a helmet autographed by the 2020 NFL Rushing Champion, visit TennesseeTitans.com/fans today and you can enter to win an exclusive Derrick Henry autographed helmet. The contest ends soon, so enter today. That contest will end on Sunday. TennesseeTitans.com/fans. And Chad mentioned it. We have T-shirts here from Farm Bureau Health Plans with Henry on the front with the stiff arm. You can come by, swing, and grab those. The first 50 that visit the Titans Pro Shop today, you can leave with a T-shirt.
It's hard not to be compelled to shop a couple days before your team takes off. And I imagine, you know, you've got the butterfly thing. I know how I feel 2 days before the Yankees start a playoff series. And I can't imagine you're not feeling that way. I feel like there's a lot of confidence about the Ravens. I don't know. I feel two distinct camps. Like there is an overly confident camp. And I think that there's
We own the Ravens camp?
Yeah. And I think there's a appropriately, like, playoff nervous camp that should be for any playoff scenario. Like the regular, anything can happen.
Right.
This is a tough team. You know, I'm nervous for any playoff scenario. And then there's a camp that's like, oh, we got this.
I think most people, though, here's the other camp that both of these sides belong in. Surprised at the Vegas point spread.
And concerned by it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Home playoff team.
I don't like that spread at
all. 1-2 in a row, going for a third. In the same calendar year.
What does it settle at? Is it 4.5?
A home underdog.
Because I think it started at 3.5 and it's 4.5.
I saw it at 3.5 yesterday.
And I think just simply it's riding the hot hand with the Ravens and winning 5 straight and the Titans defense. They're looking at both and saying,
I think
okay,
it's more
Ravens
the Titans defense. I mean, how much credit? Look, if you look at the last 10 games for these teams, 5-5, they've beaten
eight. Down to three.
They've beaten 8 crappy teams and they've lost to 2 good teams. The Titans did the losing. With the Browns and the Packers. The other 8 games have all been against inferior teams, and they've won them all. So I don't know how much that steers Vegas. And we know that the spread is meant to split the money, and people, I guess, are inclined to bet on the Ravens here, which is a little bit odd to me based on the last snapshot. Well, I mean, the last snapshot of both is extraordinary, right? The Ravens ran for 403, and Henry ran for 250. So, I mean, I would think those would be relatively, shall we say, offsetting snapshots.
Well, I mentioned yesterday, these are two of the top five yardage leaders in the NFL since week 12, since they last played each other.
Home doesn't mean anything here. I mean, home, and by the way, home games were trending towards less meaning before COVID and no fans. Used to be three. It was down to two in terms of the spread. It was trending down. This season, it's one. And this season is one game under 500 for home teams. One game under 500 for home teams. So you take the crowd out of it. I mean, yes, there's a minimal crowd effect. But it's
crowd's going to be lit on Sunday.
It's now about the travel and the inconvenience of it in terms of the actual effect on a visiting
right.
team. And that hasn't done much. It's done slightly less than even.
Speaking of offenses, though, you know, we're talking a lot about Baltimore's offense, and rightfully so. The Titans' offense, efficiency, the name of the game. We will get into some specific details of that, and we can start here. The Titans only punted 50 times all season. It's sixth fewest in the NFL. They punted one time this past Sunday.
Yeah, the problem is they don't make the other team punt either.
Well, that's true, but they held Baltimore in the previous matchup to three field goal attempts. That was the difference in the game.
Yeah, tremendous work.
So we'll dive deeper on that, a layer or two deeper, coming up a bit later in the show. Dean Pease will join us today at 10:15. A lot to discuss with the coordinator and the man behind the plan last year in the playoffs against Baltimore. He joins us at 10:15.
Pretty good plan, by the way.
Hey, you can still get
it. Worked.
I'm sure you
solid
went to FanDuel and found three. BetMGM still 3.5. So
if you
want to look for bigger, you can find bigger.
Also at 11 o'clock, the Vol Quest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price.
An eventful Vol Quest.
Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's either fire him or move on.
There is a lot to chat about.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime in the next 5 days because of some interviews that are scheduled middle of next week with principal people involved in the investigation that have not been interviewed yet.
Let's accelerate those conversations.
Here at the Titans Pro Shop, they have the playoff slogan, Never Satisfied, long sleeve tee and hoodie. They have the Derrick Henry back-to-back rushing championship tee. All knit hats are $19.95 as well. It's a cold day. You could use one of those.
You need a knit hat.
Paul came in wearing one. It's Super Wild Card Weekend, and we'll see you soon right here at the Titans Pro Shop. And you can leave with a free Titans t-shirt. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 104.5 The Zone. It is the Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Dean Pease joins us in an hour, plus the VolQuest Hour with Brent Hubbs and Austin Price at 11. Right now, we say hello to John McClain, joining us live from Houston as we broadcast live from the Titans Locker Room Team Store, Gate 1 Nissan Stadium, where you can gear up for game day, Titans and Ravens. Titans Radio's Titans Countdown live from Nissan Stadium at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Noon kickoff for Tennessee and Baltimore. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Great game this weekend. Game of the week. Game of the weekend, which to me should be the best wild card weekend in NFL history.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Have followed you closely for the last several days as Nick Caserio's been hired as the general manager. We know this Deshaun Watson story's gotten out of control. Is it as simple as he expected to be heard a little more? Not that he's hiring, but that he expected them to, you know, massage him a little bit. They didn't necessarily. He gets upset, puts out, you know, expresses it. And then everybody runs wild with the idea that he wants out.
Well, his agent's doing him a disservice, leaking national media that his unhappiness, because I've never seen a player be consulted about a general manager in my 45 years of covering the NFL. The owner, Cal McNair, had lunch with him. He's talked to him on the phone a couple of times. Watson's let him know what he thinks. And then, you know, no, they don't go hire somebody based on what a player says. This is the third time they pursued Nick Caserio, going back to January of 2018 when Bill Belichick rebuffed him then for the first time. And they brought back Brian Gain when he was fired in June of 2019. They tried again. Patriots filed tampering charges. You can't block them now. So they wanted him since 2018. So I'm not surprised he's here. And I'm guessing that before he hires a head coach, he'll run it by players like Watson and Watt because they're the superstars and the team leaders. But as far as doing it with a general manager, I've never seen that. And Watson will not be traded under any circumstance.
John, I'm with you that it's weird. I also think it screams to me of Deshaun Watson had someone he wanted them to hire. He told them that at some point, and then they went and hired Caserio anyway. Is there any truth to that?
I doubt he could tell you five general managers in the NFL. They can talk about coaches and coordinators that they go against, but he may have told him that some names that somebody told him, but he didn't have a clue about general managers. Players never even talk to them unless it's on the field after practice to say an LO. So I'm not sure I buy that. But, you know, they're not going to base a decision on what he wants to do or anybody else wants to do. And if the players don't like it, they squawk all they want. And that's what it is. It's just squawk. Watson told us Sunday and Monday, all he wants to do is win a Lombardi trophy. Well, Nick Caserio's got six replicas of Lombardi trophies and six Super Bowl rings, so I would imagine he should flash those at Watson when he sees him for the first time just to let him know, I know how to win a Super Bowl.
Is the anticipation that Caserio will then tie the next coaching hire to the Patriots?
People right now, it's amazing. In the New England area, former personnel people that work for him, current people that work for him and media who covers him thinks this is a great hire. Nobody knows for sure how a personnel man's going to do with full control for the first time, but every general manager started that way. But they think it's good. Around the NFL, people know Caserio is highly respected. He had other interviews, other opportunities, but down here, nobody likes it because he's from the Patriots. Anybody from the Patriots is associated with Bill O'Brien, and that's a kiss of death down here. And so if he hires a coach who ever changed planes at Logan International Airport, people down here are going to raise hell and not like it. Like Brian Daboll of Buffalo, who's been on my list all along, like I've had Arthur Smith on my list, and it was reported by NFL Network this morning, Tom Pelissero, that Matt Eberflus had declined the notification that they wanted to interview him. And I'm sure Caserio has people he wants to interview as well.
John McClain with us. You can join him, 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, let's run through Wild Card Weekend that you say could be a top matchup or a top weekend with all the matchups. Let's just go in order. Starting with Saturday, the noon kickoff, Indianapolis on the road at Buffalo. The Colts went 3-1 to finish the season. They had that second half collapse against the Pittsburgh Steelers. If not for that, they'd be 4-0 to finish. And they found their run game during that month in December. Do you give the Colts a shot on the road at Buffalo?
No. Bills won their last five, averaged 38 points a game. They are hot. I think they're going to beat the Colts. Matt Eberflus will get a head coaching job within the next 10 days after it. But I think they'll make it close. But I don't think Phillip Rivers is playing well enough to go in there and beat Josh Allen.
Yeah, the Bills have won six in a row, as John mentioned, and they've won all of those games by 10 or more points. And the last three opponents, they've won by 29, 29, and 30 points. Yeesh. Rams and Seahawks on the 3:40 kickoff on Saturday. Seahawks hosting this game. No one really has an idea if Jared Goff is going to play or not. How do you feel about this matchup?
I don't think it matters if Goff plays or not. If he plays, I mean, the guy broke his thumb and had surgery. Seattle's running the ball a whole lot better, playing better defense. I think Russell Wilson wins this one. The Rams have the number one defense in the NFL, but the offense has not kept up.
And the Seahawks defense has improved over the last month, month and a half. But during that stretch, just going and looking at their schedule, they did do a nice job against Kyler Murray. They faced Colt McCoy against the Giants and lost that game. They faced Sam Darnold, Dwayne Haskins, Jared Goff, and C.J. Beathard. So I don't know how to view what the Seahawks have done defensively.
Well, I think the Seahawks are going to win this game because of Russell Wilson.
Tampa Bay on the road at 11-5. Of course, the division leader and winner, Washington, hosts this game at 7-9. This is the Saturday night game. Are the Bucs the team you thought they would be right now, John?
Well, considering they finished 11-5, Brady threw 40 touchdown passes. I never expected that from him at 43. He's got all that great playoff experience. He can play in cold weather. I think this one's going to be ugly in favor of the Buccaneers, and we'll get rid of the worst team in the playoffs.
Washington does have the ability to pressure. And that's the one thing that screws with Brady.
John, would this be one of the more surprising home team playoff wins that you can remember if Washington actually beats Tampa, even though they're hosting them?
The most surprising was 7-9 Seattle beating New Orleans, which came in
beast mode.
In that game, of course, Marshawn Lynch became beast mode. That was the most surprising I've seen that I can remember between a team, because you don't see many teams in there with losing records. And this one would be an even bigger surprise because the Washington offense is awful. Running game's good. Passing game's terrible with Alex Smith. And I think that they'll find a way to block that pass rush. Brady will get rid of the ball quick, and they'll beat them handily.
For those that watch Inside the NFL, whenever everything's mic'd up, you can watch Chase Young, who runs his mouth. He's the only one defensively that talks any trash based on the way guys are mic'd up. Even so, with some veterans after the game will come up to him and be like, hey, man, you need to find some other players just like you because you back up everything you say. He will be matched up against Tristan Wirfs, the first-round offensive tackle, who's done a really nice job.
Very good.
On Brady's offensive line. And it's rookie versus rookie, Big Ten versus Big Ten on Saturday night on the edge. I can't wait to watch that matchup.
Well, you can be sure it won't just be Tristan Wirfs blocking Chase Young.
Baltimore and Tennessee right here at Nissan Stadium, game four of the weekend, the first game on Sunday, 12:05 kickoff. John, the Ravens are a road favorite, 3.5, depending on where you look in Vegas.
They played a dog schedule at the end of the year, but they won every game. Their running game is great, even better than the Titans. After watching Tennessee give up 38 points to the Texans, I'm picking the Ravens in this game, that they get revenge for last year's playoff game and do a whole lot better job against Derrick Henry. I don't see them getting a big lead like Green Bay, taking him out of the game. I think this old-fashioned football, two great running games, maybe a little snow in there, I'm told you guys may have. I can't wait. It's the highlight of the weekend.
How much does Lamar Jackson need this playoff win?
He needs it a lot. If he loses a third one, they had a great game plan last year in which they took away that deep middle pass he likes to throw to tight end Mark Andrews and wide out Hollywood Brown, make him throw to the sideline. It was a great game plan, and he couldn't pull it off until the Titans were up and they played a different coverage, and he ended up compiling some big stats. But he's got to go out there and prove that he's not just a regular season quarterback, that he can do it in the playoffs, and if they get eliminated, a lot of people are going to be down on him.
Are the Ravens a team, though, with their coaching staff and the way their defense plays, that can have a playoff run similar to what the Titans did a year ago?
If you can run the ball in January, and because you get in cold weather, you get in wind, of course you get in snow, if you can run the ball, you got a chance. Just like the Titans blew through the playoffs until they got to Arrowhead Stadium, that could be the Titans, it could be the Ravens. I don't think it'll be Buffalo. A lot of people are saying the Bills are the team, but they don't run the ball very well. It's all about Josh Allen throwing, and, of course, he runs well too. But I would give the Ravens and the Titans the best chance to get to Kansas City and give the Chiefs a run for the money.
New Orleans hosts Chicago. The Bears were 8-8 on the road at 12-4 Saints. That's Sunday, the middle game at 3:40. All of this Mitchell Trubisky hype over the last month, he can prove a lot of people wrong with a road win on Sunday afternoon.
That team had a 5 or 6 game losing streak when the Texans went to Soldier Field and they blew them out. And the Bears beat a bunch of bad teams, starting with the Texans. Then when they played the Packers, they got blown out. I fully expect them to be blown out in this game as well. Trubisky will be gone. They'll be looking for another quarterback because it won't be Nick Foles unless they can't get somebody else who's better, which shouldn't be very difficult.
Paul, they are the first team since the merger to lose 6 games in a row in a regular season and make the postseason.
The playoffs. I'm curious, John, about your longer-term forecast for the Saints, who have consistently for a while now failed themselves in the playoffs. And this, I think a lot of people are thinking, is the last hurrah for Breeze. Go bigger picture here. What do you think of there? And I think you picked them for the Super Bowl. I picked them for the Super Bowl. What do you think of their chances in the field in the NFC?
Before the season, I picked them to beat Baltimore in the Super Bowl. I don't feel good about it anymore. Their defense has been good. They don't need Alvin Kamara to beat the Bears. But if Sean Payton, he seems to think that Taysom Hill is going to be his next quarterback. Jameis Winston signed a 1-year contract. They may have to trade and get somebody else or look for another vet. But most people think Breeze will go to NBC or Fox, where he's got standing offers, and start the next part of his career. I see them going in the Lambeau Field and winning in bad weather in January. Dome teams usually don't do that.
As I understand it, he's already agreed to terms with NBC.
Yeah, but it's kind of flexible as to when he starts. But everybody thinks he's done. He's got the flexibility to start in 2022 if he wants to.
Yeah, he could take a year off, which he might want to do because he's been playing so long. And I think he'll be great on TV. It'd be a great story if he won his second Super Bowl and then retired. But I just don't see it.
Cleveland, who hopes to get into their facility later today. This morning, their facility remains closed. They're 11-5. High hopes for this team, John, prior to all of the news. And to say they're shorthanded would be an understatement. They don't have their head coach. They don't have their offensive play caller. They don't have Joel Bitonio, who's never had a playoff game in his time. He's the oldest player on the Browns roster, and he's out with COVID. There are a number of assistant coaches that will miss this game due to COVID-19, and they haven't practiced in person all week. The game is on as scheduled as of right now, correct? I mean, it's 7:15 kickoff on Sunday night at Pittsburgh.
I don't know why the NFL wouldn't allow Kevin Stefanski to have a setup at home like Kirk Herbstreit has at home that we saw when he was broadcasting from the Superdome, but that game, he had multiple monitors and a headset. Why can't coaches do that? And he could communicate with a coach. He could call the plays. TV's a better angle than being in the coach's booth. I'm sorry, than on the sideline. But I just don't understand. They got the technology. People say, well, the league says, well, that's the rules. Well, they've changed all kinds of rules this year. They've made adjustments. It's grossly unfair to the Browns to not let them do that, or any team. Now, I would have put Pittsburgh anyway, even though the Steelers are last in rushing. I wonder when's the last time the Steelers finished last in rushing. They were even worse than the Texans, who were 31st. So I think the Steelers will win the game. But my goodness, what a great story it would be if the short-handed Browns won their first playoff game since Bill Belichick was their coach.
I also think here's the part of the game I'm interested to watch. I don't think it was the right call to rest some of the starters they did because they limped in December. Talking about Pittsburgh, their offense was out of sync. They start 11-0, and then there was question. And then they have a good half against Indianapolis. It seems like they're getting back into rhythm, and then they rest their starters in Week 17. I understand the veteran aspect of this, where you rest your guys. It's been a long year. You had your bye week moved around, and you take the benefit that you can in the final week of the season. But is there – I wonder if it backfires at all with you get into some offensive rhythm, and then all of a sudden you put a halt to that.
Their offense has been bad down the stretch, and it doesn't matter who's playing. And I still pick them because of Roethlisberger. You know, they're missing 3 linebackers, but you got T.J. Watt, who I think should be defensive player of the year. And I just don't see the Browns going in there and winning unless they run, and run some more, control the ball, keep Big Ben on the bench. That's their best chance.
I wonder if the Browns, I mean, I'm sure the Browns have talked this week about the Titans winning against Buffalo as the one big representative of this can be done. But I agree with you. It's just ridiculous. I think they didn't foresee a scenario where a head coach would be out, so they didn't make an allowance for it at the beginning, and then it was easier to be staunch about, well, if players are out, players are out. So if coaches are out, coaches are out, and not make an allowance for some kind of communication. For a head coach to be penalized to that degree seems unnecessarily punitive.
If worse came to worse, he could just sit there on his cell phone in front of his TV and call the plays through somebody in the press box or on the sideline. And it's just so simple. And I tell you, if they lose, then people are going to be so upset, not just Browns fans, because it's such a great story having Cleveland in the playoffs for the first time since 2002.
Even if he's not.
I would love to see him win, move to the next round just to overcome this. And the NFL should be ashamed.
Even if he's not calling the plays, allow him oversight. He's the CEO of the team. Allow him to be the CEO of the team.
Absolutely.
The biggest impact will be in the second and fourth quarters when he's not having contact. You can script or go by some type of plan in the first quarter. You can make small adjustments at halftime to your staff and communicate that way. Second and fourth quarters is where I'm watching to see how this game is moderated from a coaching perspective on the road at Pittsburgh. John, final thoughts here. What are you hearing on the NFL Combine? I was reading Albert Breer's column this week where he says that the league, while they don't want to move it, with the NCAA tournament happening when it's happening all in Indianapolis, they may push the Combine back to April.
Well, they would have a much better chance of having a combine if they did it. I don't know if any media will be invited. I think it'll be more like the Super Bowl, unless I know by then I'll have my two shots for COVID-19. I have my first one coming up in 10 days. But I think everything's so iffy. They don't know what they're going to do. And I think if all interviews are with Zoom, then you might not get any media. I'd be stunned if there were a radio row.
What do you... Prior to that, what's the Super Bowl with the teams arriving on Saturday like a regular road trip? I mean, are they going to attempt to make the week preceding the Super Bowl a big deal in some fashion? And what's the maximum that they could do, media-wise anyway?
I don't know, because they're talking about having 50% of the press box full. I got a call weeks ago to see if I were interested. I said no. And I think there'll be Zoom interviews all week with the media, like we were there in person, because they want to drum up as much support. But it's going to be terrible not having Radio Row, because to me, that's what the Super Bowl has become, Radio Row.
John, I failed to mention this on Tuesday. You are nearing 50 years covering the NFL. Your first year was when the Oilers were in camp, what, 1977? You're starting
this
how many?
My 49th okay. year as a sports writer, be my 45th year on the NFL, 46th year at the Chronicle.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Big milestone next year, John.
Sticking around a couple more years.
Big milestone next year, 50.
Pleasure having you on.
As always, guys, have a great weekend, and I can't wait to see the Titans and the Ravens, and good luck to the Titans.
John McClain. Thanks, John. Of the Houston Chronicle. The intro was covering the league for four decades. We may be able to say five.
Into his fifth.
615-737-1045, our number. What will it take from Derrick Henry on Sunday for the Titans to beat Baltimore? As you think through your own way of seeing this game play out, it took 250 from Henry on Sunday against Houston. What does it take this Sunday against Baltimore? Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
For the game. He got it. Steve Christie from 41 yards. And the underdog Buffalo Bills, led by Rob Johnson, have taken the lead with 16 seconds to go. And the Tennessee Titans are just crushed. 16 seconds left. They still have a prayer, but not much more.
So 16 seconds to play, Bills 16, Titans 15.
Kevin Dyson is deep with Ike Bird. Do the Titans have a miracle left in them in what has been a magical season to this point? If they do, they need it now. Christie kicks it high and short. Going to be fielded by Lorenzo Neal at the 25.
Yeah,
pitches it back to Wycheck. He throws it across the field to Dyson.
He's got something.
30,
he's
40,
got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got
20,
it.
20, 10.
He's got 5, it.
End zone. Touchdown, Titans. There are no flags on the field. It's a miracle. Tennessee has pulled a miracle. A miracle for the Titans.
Happy birthday to the Music City Miracle right here at Nissan Stadium 21 years ago today.
And the wild card logo is once again painted on the Nissan Stadium turf. I went down there, took a little snapshot of it at a very awkward angle.
But so you're saying you won't be posting it?
I did post it.
Oh, okay.
At a very awkward angle. It's hard to imagine that's 21 years old.
Well, how about on Sunday? It is the exact anniversary, 12 years to the day of the last playoff game that's played here.
That's crazy, too.
It's been 12 years since they played the Ravens here.
We're dating a lot of things, including every person that's thinking about these things.
Yes.
Yeah, when I hear Music City Miracle, I was in high school listening outside at my buddy's 1997 Jeep Wrangler. Outside of our other buddy's basketball game that he was playing at the Mount Juliet Community Center at Charlie Daniels Park.
See, I think of you.
Listening to Mike Keith on that call.
I figured you were escorting George across the bridge.
I was in high school, Paul.
And exactly. That's the stage at exactly. Which you started escorting George across the bridge.
No, that was not the age.
I was in the living room at the house with my dad and my brother and sister. I don't know if my mom was watching the game or not, but... I just remember wanting, I couldn't believe what we had seen, and I was listening to the TV call.
And, which was poor.
And wanting to go, and I'm wondering what Titans radio sounded like on that call. Turns out it was perfect.
I was standing at about the 25, 30-yard line. This is before Jerry Gray ensured that we couldn't be on the sideline during the final 2 minutes. And that was this building's finest moment from a media perspective, because at the two-minute warning, you could make it from your seat in the press box to the field.
When's the last time you were on the sideline to end a game?
I don't know. When was Jerry Gray's prime?
Three blind mice.
Yeah.
That moment?
Right before then.
Yeah, exactly.
I was on the field.
That was also the moment where in the photo, there's a photo of Paul in the background with his mouth open. And
yeah, everybody,
you're saying, holy bleep,
you holy know? Bleep, holy and, bleep, holy bleep. I said the
people,
whole way.
People and see you in that I'm freeze cheering. Frame and they think that you're cheering.
Paul, noted
everybody
Titans
else.
Fan.
Yeah. Everybody else on the sideline is cheering.
Paul was like the Kentucky right. Sports Radio type media. He wore gear.
Which we refuse to be. There's Paul cheering, jumping up and down.
It's an amazing picture to have of yourself in a famous moment. Just crazy.
Let's take a second, just a quick detour from this. Let's take a second to celebrate Kentucky sucking so bad this year, because when Kentucky comes to Bridgestone Arena.
Right at the right time, didn't he?
Well, for SEC media days, when Kentucky comes to Bridgestone Arena, we're going to have far less Kentucky gear in the media area.
Well, they're going to play the first night.
Down in the bowels
night,
of the
right?
arena.
They're going to play the first night?
They're not going to, because they're 3-0 in the conference right now. 2-0 in the conference. So they've gotten off to a good start in their conference season, but that was against Mississippi State and Vanderbilt also. Yeah.
Did Matt Jones sell at just the right time?
Yes.
Yes. Matt Jones, smart businessman. But then Reed showed us where he bought a wrestling organization. Ohio Valley Wrestling?
It's going to be huge. Regional wrestling is coming back. Right,
Paul,
Reed?
Paul, I can see Reed doing the ring announcing for that. He'd be great at that.
Reed's going to hook up
promos.
With Matt Jones?
Yeah, no, I'll pass on that. Unless yeah. I can actually get in the ring with Matt Jones, then I'm all about it.
I was going to say, if you team up with Matt Jones, the fly sound effects are going to go away pretty quick.
The flea. Yeah,
the flea, but we play the fly.
I don't see myself turning heel and joining Kentucky Sports Radio anytime soon.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to know where you stand, Dennis.
We got to check in every now and then. You never know.
That's true. And now we know.
Dean Pease will join us today at 10:15. What will it take from Henry on Sunday?
I don't know. I would put it on a teeter-totter, if you will, against, you know, Dobbins, Edwards, Ingram, Jackson. You know, there needs to be some sort of equilibrium. How's that for a non-answer?
Well, I mean, he had success, of course, when the first matchup this year. He's had success in every one of their wins. He's averaging 144 yards rushing in their 11 wins. Like, to me, if he gets around that average, that's the Titans. Also, I mean, if he gets around 115 yards per game, the Titans should be okay. I mean, when you look at the scoreboard, because they're going to control time of possession, and they're going to strike fast. A lot of these drives where Henry gets going, it's a 5-4, 5 play drive.
Yeah.
You know, the gashing yards. And it took a quarter or so to see Henry, who was very patient against Baltimore's defense, get three, then get three more, and then get 11. And then he, in the second half, things picked up. How much does Campbell and Williams play a factor in this on Sunday as well? And Roger Saffold.
So, Hutton, when you threw this question out, I jotted this down. What would the Titans need from Henry? Because I just believe they're going to need a superhuman effort on offense to win any playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be my answer.
Any game.
That's going to be my answer.
They needed any game.
But now that the regular season is behind us and we're looking at their projection in the playoffs, whoever they're playing, they're going to need a superhuman offensive effort. I jotted down 150 yards and at least 2 touchdowns of 10-plus yards. It's not good enough just to have 1 and 2 yard touchdown plunges. It's going to take 10-plus yard touchdown runs and at least 150 yards from Derrick Henry.
How many points?
Who is their main man? 40. I think the goal is 40.
I don't think they're scoring 40.
I think every game the goal is 40 with this defense. They just gave up 38 to Houston, who has no running game.
I'm with you.
Baltimore.
The defense is terrible.
Baltimore scoring average, 19 against.
It's going to take 40.
I mean, that's why this is a super giant challenge, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'd be scared. I mean, I think the Titans are going to score more than 19, but there's a long way between 19 and the Titans scoring average, a 30.1. And there's a long way between 30.1 and 40. I think it's going to be a hell of an effort to score 40. Against this team. If you're scoring 40 against this team, Henry's scoring a 60-yarder, and the Titans are throwing a, you know, Khalif Raymond 45-yard bomb. And never mind that. They're getting a defensive touchdown, or the defense is putting them at the 5-yard line, or God forbid, and don't laugh at me, something's happening on special teams.
Well, special teams is a key area in this game. I mean, there are a lot of things stacked against Tennessee, despite them being the home team against Baltimore. We know what their offense is capable of. They're averaging 36 points per game since they played the Titans. Here's the good news, though. Here's the optimism. A couple of areas. First, the offense. The offense is superhuman. I mean, you say it's going to take a superhuman effort, Chad. That's how I would describe this Titans offense.
They are superhuman.
They've done it a high percentage of the time.
That's the good news. I'm asking them to give one of their really good performances, which we've seen this year.
Yeah,
this is not an ask that's out of the realm of possibility.
They've already done it. Defensively, among their better performances this season came against Baltimore. Again.
Yes.
So that's another key area. You mentioned special teams, though. Cook, their punter for Baltimore, he's averaging like 43 yards per punt net. And then you have...
I don't think we'll be seeing him too much.
And then you have Tucker, who's the most accurate kicker.
He's the best.
Period.
Automatic.
He's automatic. You have to hold him to kicks. Now, the opposite side of that, the Titans in recent weeks have been good at open field tackling on special teams. That needs to continue.
Yes.
They need to have some sort of boost on special teams in their return game. They can't be as terrible blocking as they have been. It can't be all about the returner. They need to be solid with those return units. I have faith in Kern and Gostkowski coming off COVID. That's an area to watch.
Yeah.
With the consistency.
And they've got to tackle in the open field, right? We've talked a lot about them being in space. Shane Bowen talked about this the other day. And Greg Cosell was telling us, and Blake Bedingfield wrote in his piece that's up already, they've got a lot of eye candy and a lot of misdirection and stuff now that has kind of expanded this run game to get all these guys in space. Okay? Lamar Jackson in space is a hell of an ask for a one-on-one tackle or a slow him down until help arrives or a get him to the sideline thing. And the Titans are a better tackling team than they've been. But still, any team's going to miss some tackles against guys sure. like this. And so when are you missing them? What are the consequences of missing them? All of this is very situational. You know, you can miss a tackle against Lamar Jackson.
And if you miss a tackle.
And he could get 10 extra yards, and it could hurt you but not kill you. Or you could miss a tackle against Lamar Jackson, and it could cost you 60 extra yards, and he's in the end zone.
Yeah, if you miss a tackle, is the second or third level out of position.
Right.
That's what it comes down
and,
to.
And what? How good have the Titans been at taking angles on long stuff? They've been crappy all season at that. Byard's not been good at taking angles, and he's going to – Byard needs to have a big game in this game. Byard needs to handle, manage Andrews and take angles on these runs where he's the support guy. This really probably needs to be Kevin Byard's best game of the year. Is there cause for faith for that? I don't have cause for faith for that. The Hockenson game was good, but that was three games ago or whatever.
Well, Pro Football Focus has graded him among the top defenders of the Titans over the last 3 weeks, including that Hockenson game. So he's been much better to close the year. Coming up, so is Lamar Jackson.
Right.
You know, and Lamar Jackson, there is a motivating factor for him. There is no doubt. But I think the doubt part of that is a key word to focus on. Can the Titans create doubt early on Sunday? Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.